the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again from 1 Timothy. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. This section of Paul's first letter to Timothy is a personal note to Timothy, a note that can be directed to any one of us in ministry, and especially for those of you who are preparing for the same. Calling Timothy a man of God, Paul gives Timothy practical instructions to help him guide the church at Ephesus. And Paul is not timid in what he says either. When he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, his word to Timothy is not devoted to what Timothy should not do. Instead, Paul offers a bold and positive vision of what Timothy, or by extension, any one of us who would be a man or woman of God, should do. The contrast Paul is setting forth is important. In other words, the people you and I may serve, the people in the pews or in our classes, should not be led to believe that being a Christian means that our living should be a passive sort of meandering existence. No. Paul's imperatives to Timothy and to us in this entire letter are aggressive terms. Listen again. He says to Timothy and to us, flee, pursue, fight, take hold of. We as Christians, Paul is saying, are not parked on some side street where while the world rushes by full speed toward its materialistic goals. No, we should rather be moving full speed ahead toward the goal, but a different goal. We as Christ people must be more ambitious than the men and women of this world. And that's what Paul wanted from Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to live as he did. Just look at Paul before as well as after his conversion. He didn't change his style of the living. His was a change of direction. Prior to his conversion, Saul of Tarsus was a passionate, devout man intent on one thing, persecuting those who followed Christ. He was no less passionate or ambitious after his conversion than before. The difference? Now his ambition was for Christ, not against him. Is that possible for you and for me? Yes, but only as we stand in the shadow of the cross of Christ. Only as we submit ourselves to the shape of that instrument of certain death and promised life. In the shadow of the cross, there can only be love for the one who gave up his life so that we might know the extent of God's love for us. That the cross and the resurrection overshadowed all of Paul's thinking goes without saying. And when it comes to his letters to Timothy and to Titus, I wonder if it would not be a good idea for all of us who are in ministry, or especially those of you preparing for it, to read those letters of Paul at least once a month. That would keep us honest or carrying out ministry the way that God intends us to do. You know, the temptation to do the opposite is always in front of us. We all, do we not, tend to ease into non-challenging lifestyles and inoffensive behavior? We're so eager to placate the big givers, please everyone, and impress our peers so much so that we neglect our first calling, living and witnessing the good news of Christ's death and resurrection. Paul neither shied away from telling that message nor worried about the hardship which came from such witness. Paul knew this. First, when we endure hardship for the Lord, it nearly always creates an opportunity to demonstrate and talk about our faith in Jesus. And second, when we face those challenges, it shows that we are really relying on God. Years ago, a young newspaper reporter got off of a train in Detroit and came face to face with the great Henry Ford. Not wishing to miss a story or a contact, the man walked up to Ford and introduced himself. He spoke words of admiration about Ford and then asked Ford if he had any advice for him. Ford startled him by asking him a question back. The question seemed a bit strange to the reporter. The question, "Who is our best friend?" The reporter stammered slightly, not knowing exactly how to answer. But Henry Ford knew what he was doing. He reached into his vest pocket, pulled out a scrap of paper, and wrote down a single line. "Here," he said, handing the note to the reporter. To his dying day, the reporter kept Ford's brief lesson in his wallet. It read, "Your best friend is the one who brings out the best in you." Was not that what Paul was doing with Timothy here in our text and in his whole letter to him? And what can we learn from this? Ultimately, as Paul brought out the best in Timothy, as he points to Timothy's relationship to Christ his Lord, so today that same Lord, our one and only true friend, brings out the best in us, as he promises both now and throughout eternity, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.